the words I have spoken to you. Everybody say, our spirit and what?
Life.
Spirit and life. Now, we get started on this, and I don't want to get too off on this all theological abstract stuff, but here's what I want to say. This next verse. Well, you know, when Jesus made the worlds, the Bible says that he spoke. He didn't speak and then start putting stuff together. He spoke it into being. He didn't think, okay, I've spoken it, now I got to go work. No, his work was the speaking. And so Hebrews 11:3 says to us, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible, that it issued forth out of God. And he ties this. It's amazing, because when God wants to create a new you, what does he use? He uses words. Romans chapter 10 says it like this, because if you, everybody say, confess with your mouth. Now, isn't that words? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth confesses and is saved. When God wants to start afresh in the human heart, he says it's going to happen with the pronouncement of words. And you're going to pronounce that and believe in your heart. Those two things go together. The heart and the mouth are tied together. This is either a real good thing or either a real bad thing. Because Jesus said the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I remember, I've shared this before, but I remember the Lord whispered to me one time, it was about, I don't know, 20 years ago, and he said, you're really negative. You're critical. You have a critical tongue. And I went, no, I don't. Have you ever said stuff to the Lord like, you know, he goes, well, we're going to show it to you. The next month, every time I opened my mouth, the Holy Spirit was there making me aware what was coming out of my mouth. Says, oh, I found out, oh my God. He was right. How many of you are blind to most of what comes out of your mouth? It's amazing. We end up going, I'm not critical. You know, I'm not critical. Yeah, right? Proverbs 16:24 says, gracious words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. How many of you really like to be around people who have gracious words? Healing words, a touch. When you're around people that aren't griping and complaining and stuff, you run into almost like a reservoir of grace in people that they speak, and there's a depth to them that is goodness and things that flow out of them. How many of you, let's just go ahead and choose this week, I'm going to be that person. And we'll help, there's more help on the way in this message. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is for the building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Grace to those who hear. This was my mother's favorite verse. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Could you imagine if every person living in this county had that mouth? Let me just go ahead and say, poverty would just walk right on out of the county. The things that hang on and cause people to suffer would just walk on away. Because you'd have everybody speaking those things that build everybody up, and there'd be such a level of encouragement that people go to the next level, go to the next level, go to the next level, go to the next level. Be a place of incredible brightness and help and hope, just with the power of the words from our mouths. Is this encouraging anybody today? Let me just say, like I said when I started, that your words are very much a part of where, why you're stuck in certain places, and or why you're moving forward. Have you ever met somebody that they, and have you ever done this yourself, where you have an experience that's really negative and you want to tell every single person you see? What happened to you? Oh, you'll never believe it. Oh, and then you go off on this negative thing. And you know what that does? Repetition of a negative event does? It drives it deeper into your belief system. What if you never did that again? What if a negative thing you never repeated? And any positive thing, what happened to you? And you repeat the positive thing. Oh, let me tell you what happened. And you go positive, positive, positive. And it drives that belief down in your spirit. You guys are so fun. You go like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know those little dogs that used to have those little puppy dog things in the back of the cars? And they're like, hey, this is a real topic, isn't it? James 3, verse 2 says, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Whoa! This is phenomenal. In other words, your mouth is so important to the whole of your life that if you can handle what comes out of there, it's such a hot... That's what Jesus is. That's why we love Jesus so much. You know, there are people still think, you know, like there was a prayer meeting Pastor Jack Hayford a long time ago was telling us about. And there was guys, well, they were all praying and all kneeling. And one guy was over here. He says, get him, God. Get him, God. He wasn't praying out of any kind of thing positive. He was hurt by somebody. He's wanting God to take revenge. Get him, Lord. Get him. How many of you had that in your heart before? Tear him up, Lord. Do bad to him, you know. The Lord's bigger than all that. He's absorbed all that through the blood of the on the cross. He's taken all the negativity and things to the cross and broken the power of them. You know, I've even had times when I've really flipped out a little bit. Am I the only one that's ever flipped out? And you say something so... And it really puts a bad vibe in the house. Let's say, and on a scale of 1 to 10, let's say you just let a rip at a 9. You know how to change that room? You go back to that same spot, and you go up to a 10 and shout the name of Jesus. I was in a restaurant one time. And there was these guys talking, and there was two tables. And they were cussing back and forth. And when they would say, I would go like this, praise the Lord. I would say, I was talking the same level, and I was neutralizing the room. Praise you, Jesus. They would all, praise the Lord. And it was like a battle. The hell was trying to spew in the room. I kept washing the room. They had no idea we were engaged in warfare. I says, not my side of the room. We're going to keep it clean over here. But because the tongue is so powerful, Psalm 141, verse 3 says, set a guard, O Lord. Here's your prayer. Here's your verse for today. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Come on, let's say it together. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. That's your, tell you what, why don't you go ahead and write that verse on a piece of paper, put on a piece of tape, and then stick it to your mouth. Just go ahead and stick it. How many of you need to this exhortation today because of things you've been going through? It's easy to begin negative, and you don't want to go negative. Because look, the more you're negative, the further down the road of negativity you're going to go, and the worse the things are going to get. But you can turn it around, just like it says in the rest of James chapter 3. It says, like a rudder on a ship, you can turn around by speaking positive. You know, even when it comes to forgiving people, I want to tell you something. Listen very carefully. When you forgive someone and it's a devastating thing they've done and you forgive them, at that point you've brought it down to zero. But Jesus actually says in Luke and in Matthew, he says, bless those that curse you. Do good to those. So what's he saying now? You're not only bringing it down to zero, but now you're speaking blessing where you were cursed, right? What does that do? It begins to build a force field. Let's say somebody was really, really just full of rejection. And so they go ahead and reject you, and you feel the sting, and you feel hurt and wounded by that. So then you come to church or something, you learn in the way of the Lord, and you begin to be forgiving, and you forgive them. But then a couple of weeks go by, and it crops up again, you forgive them again. Then a couple of weeks go by, and it crops up, and it's saying, and you keep reducing it with forgiveness. Now it's time to sow a new seed. It's amazing, but I have learned this pathway. And I'm going to tell you, people who made themselves enemies of mine have been often prayed for more than other people. Because I'm asking God for a turnaround in their life. So if rejection was the reason that they were coming against or wounded me, I'll say, Lord, Father God, this is the blessing. Father God, fill their heart with your love. Overflow them with your love. You hear the words? Gracious words. Words that build up. Not in their presence, just out of my spirit. Now, if they're open to relationship, then, you know, may the Lord bless. Amen. Is this helpful? Come on. And why? Here's the Proverbs 18:21. This is the biggie. Here's another biggie. Ready? Let's read it together. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Whew. This is a phenomenon of understanding. Death. You can be trapped with something in your tongue that you'll try and try and try and try not to be that way, but you need deliverance. You need somehow that the Lord would take the bondage, what's inside, and break its power. Because he wants us to decree life out of our tongues. Life, life, life. Something can happen to you and you just accept it. Or you can begin speaking life. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I'm getting better. I'm improving every day. I speak to this. I'm totally healed. Everything. See what I'm saying? And it's amazing, but your spirit needs to hear it. Your spirit needs something to respond to. And then when you say, by his stripes, I'm healed. You begin to declare the word of God, which is the very next thing. This is why Jesus said this is so important. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. It's so important to have a promise from the Lord. As I mentioned a little while ago, I wasn't sure what to do with the building situation. Just pray in the Spirit, seeking the Lord, pray in the Spirit, seeking the Lord, pray in the Spirit. A month goes by. I'm just waiting to hear, and then suddenly I hear. And I know. But how many of you, sometimes the Lord just likes to be pursued. You got to get down to it. You say, Lord, I need your help. And then he shows up and he gives you the direction you need. And then, because I'm leading a group of people, we want to actually do, I don't want to flounder. I want us to know what we're supposed to be doing and move according to what the Spirit of the Lord would say. I don't care where it comes from, as long as the Spirit of the Lord is saying it. Then you can build your life on the truth of his word. A rhema word, a spoken word. He takes something often out of the written word and gives it to you. Or he'll speak something to your spirit. Many, many times where the Lord just whispered something to me. Refreshed my heart so much. Caused me to rise up into something that I couldn't do on my own. To step into new things. God is so good. I want that for everybody. This is the way he does it. He's always encouraging us. In fact, God often speaks to his servants to give them a new self-image. There's Abraham. Here you go, Abraham. What's he say to Abraham? I will make you a great nation and bless you and make your name great so you will be a blessing. When he calls Abraham, he begins to speak these words to him. He gives him a picture of who he's to become. Look, he wasn't thinking in terms of being a blessing. But he's going to choose his servant. And he's going to speak words into his heart that cause him to rise and become what he calls him to be. Later on, he speaks something else. He brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars. So the Lord's brought Abraham outside. If you're able to number them, I wonder how long before he said the next part. I bet you were standing there for an hour. 1, 2, 3. Have you ever seen a real nice light, you know, sky where you just, I remember being in Montana up on a mountain listening for elks. And we were standing there and it looked like just a big, just diamonds everywhere. It was amazing. And thinking of Abraham. And then the Lord says, did you lose count yet? That's how many offspring you're going to have, Abraham. Is that a picture or what? And the Bible says, and he believed the Lord. That's phenomenal. He believed the Lord in it, and the Lord counts it to him as righteousness. Whenever you begin to respond to the words, the Lord's word to you, he sets you in right order with him, and things begin to take off. How many of you need to hear some things from the Lord now? As you begin to seek him, as you begin to pray for him, just listen. Don't just run off on your own stream. That's probably why you're where you are now. It doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you don't make mistakes, you know. But listening to the, and laying a foundation, he says, thy word will be a light to my path. You know, he'll give you the way to go. We have another person, Gideon. I love this one. Gideon, they're out there. It says, an angel of the Lord came and sat under this terebinth. That's a tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash. And while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And the rest of the story is so crazy because it goes, he's hiding in a winepress trying to get some wheat beat out. He's not in a wheat place. He's hiding from the enemy. And the angel comes and says, O mighty man of valor. The Lord often will try to change your self-image in the new view. Some of you need a change in your self-image from the Lord to move forward. You've allowed life to beat you down. You've allowed things to beat people to beat you down, words to beat you down. And the Lord says, that's not who you are to me. You're something else to me. How many of you read the book Where Little Much Afraid Turns into Grace and Glory? Hinds Feet on High Places. How many of you know this? Christian classic. The whole concept of God speaking into the heart of somebody, you're more than what you think you are. You're more than what you think you are. And me, to fulfill my purpose, you're much more than you thought you were. In Jeremiah, it says, this is an amazing word to Jeremiah. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you and I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And this is what I don't have the rest on the overhead. You can leave that. And the rest of this, it says, oh, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am a youth. See, Jeremiah reacts. God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and I've called you to be a prophet to the nations. He says, I'm too young. And the Lord says, do not say I am only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I will be with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. But he's got to start by changing the way you see yourself. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a consistent loser in life? Do you see yourself that just can never get ahead? Or do you see yourself as one that can rise up? Because this is what I know about the Lord Jesus. Yeah, let me tell you this story. C.S. Lewis, he wrote Mere Christianity, which is a Christian classic. He wrote The Chronicles of Narnia. Many of you know C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis had trouble with his teeth. He tells the story of having trouble with his teeth as a kid. And he knew that if he told his mama, I have a toothache, that she would give him an aspirin. And the pain would subside. But he didn't want to ask her for the aspirin because he knew the next day he was going to go to the dentist. And when he goes to the dentist, we're going to deal with the real problem. Now that's Jesus. Jesus, I have a pain over here. Well, we're not going to band-aid it. We're going to give you a brand new view of yourself. We're going to take out the thing that is actually causing the pain so that you could move forward in life. It's like you're like the little egg that wants to fly. You haven't gotten out of the egg yet and become the bird. You got to crack out of the bird, the egg, become the bird, and then grow, and then fly. It's a process. But when you're the egg, when you're in the egg moment, the Lord says, you're going to fly. You're going to fly. So I got to get out of here. God is always sowing hope in our spirit. Let's praise Him for that. He always wants you to go beyond where you're at. He'll answer things, even when you know you don't deserve it. He wants to give you places to go, things to improve your life. Since I tapped into something here, the Lord wants to release your heart from the heaviness of your like you said before, your missteps. He wants to cause you to begin to rise up and understand that He's for you and with you in ways that are going to cause you to prosper and do better in life. Just go ahead and put Him first in everything. Put Him first. Make Him, He's already got the steps all planned out. He's got everything all in mind. He's already thought about it all. Just seek Him. Come under Him. Do what you need to do to get things out of your life so you can seek after Him, hear Him, and respond to Him. And then He's going to speak things to you that are going to cause you to rise up. He's going to birth new things through you. Not unlike Mary. Mary had an angel come to her. And what did the angel say to her? He said what? Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. Here she is, a little farm girl. An angel shows up, and Jesus is going to come forth out of this person. And so she's confused by the greeting. And the Lord may say something so special and precious to you that you're confused by it because you don't feel that way about you. But the Lord always gives vision beyond where you are to cause you to aspire. And here's the deal. He never gives you something that you're going to do without His ability. When He calls you to do something, it's going to require a bonding with Him, tying your heart to Him, and walking through it with Him. Now, there's another slippery side to this. Jesus, before you put it there, I'll just tell the story. Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness. And the adversary, Satan, said, if you're the Son of God, don't you love that? If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And he says, watch this. Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. So Satan hears this it is written idea. It says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So the devil took him to the holy city and set him on a pinnacle in the temple. And he says this, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Now he's using the is written. He will command his angels concerning you. The devil is quoting scriptures. He's actually quoting Psalm 91, 11 and 12 up here. It says, he will command his angels concerning you. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus responds and says, it is written again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. There's a discernment in this because some people will grab a verse and run off and they've all, and you know, have you ever read the Bible end up in being more condemned? I didn't do that. That's not the Lord's Spirit. The Lord's Spirit never condemns when you're reading the Word. He liberates you to the next place. So you're listening to the wrong voice when you're reading. You're listening to this guy. Because he'll quote scriptures and mess you up. Is that right? Or somebody will come up and say, no, 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 no. And they'll have a bad spirit and they'll quote the Bible. And the Bible says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You need to have the right spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to discern the Word of God, right? And it will always be life-giving. It will always be affirming. You will always sense the Lord's love in it. Even if you're being rebuked. I'm telling you, it's a mystery to me how God can rebuke you, but you feel so loved. I know I've done wrong. Boy, he loves me. He loves me. But he loves me. I've really done bad, but God loves me so much. How many of you know the altar is good for that, isn't it? So, when I was little, my somehow back there, you know, things are said to children. And, the things. Probably things were said to you that shouldn't have been said. If you're in a home where you're speaking life to the kids and speaking that they're loved and building them up, that's good. But if you're in a place where, you know, and there's all this negativity going toward the kids, well, listen, a little child doesn't have a filter to say that's not true about me. They don't have that. In fact, it's quite the other way. You're the authority figure and you're defining who they are. So you're giving them their identity. You're actually proclaiming who they're going to become. You'll never amount to nothing. My daddy said, I'll never amount to nothing. And that's buried inside. And now, I can't get a good job. Because I truly believe in my heart, because I was told, because they know. They're the people who know. And so you receive it as your own belief system. I had something happen to me similar to that. I had this little statement that was spoken to me. You don't have any common sense. And somehow it went in. And I couldn't make good decisions in life. I couldn't get from one place to the next place correctly. Because I had a curse spoken into me that declared to me in my inner belief system that I didn't have good sense. I didn't have common sense. Whew. And the Lord knew I needed to be freed from that. So my wife and I were involved in a ministry called the Cleansing Stream Ministry, and I was in a prayer time, my first prayer time of being prayed for. And there was a saint there, a lady, that a precious lady said had a discernment, and she said, there's a curse. There's a curse. And I just rested, and the thing just came up. You don't have any common sense. I said, my father said these words. You don't have any common sense. And it was as if the family all laughed and believed it. And I'm just little. So apparently it's truth to me. So it goes in. So this thing is proclaimed, and I'm now say it out loud, and I'm in a prayer session with some people who know what to do. So I forgive my father for saying those words. I forgive the family. They lead me in this prayer, and they said, now on the basis of your repentance and your forgiveness to them and repenting for receiving this, we command this to leave. I'm not kidding. It was like a claw on my brain. And we were commanding this curse to leave, and it didn't want to go right away. It was starting to pop, and it popped off of my head. And I'm wondering how many people have thoughts that are keeping you from going forward, and they're just holding you back because you believe these deeply negative things about yourself that were spoken, and you had no filter to block them away. But I'm talking about being a blessing and blessing where you're cursed. And this is what the Lord did for me. 2 weeks after that prayer meeting, I will never forget this. This is an amazing thing. I led part of my job at the church I was at. I led the worship for the singles ministry on Friday nights. And on Friday nights, there was 400 to 500 people. It was in L.A., so there's a lot of people running around there. And I had finished for the night, and I was walking to my car, and my friend Patty was just walking there, so she saw this. I sat down in the car seat, and I'm not kidding, man. The Lord prophesies to me through me. I have never experienced that before. And the Lord speaks to me, says, my son, and I'm talking, listening. He says, my son, not only have I broken the curse over your mind that said you have no common sense, but tonight I'm going to bless you. And I'm like, this is flowing up out of me, and I'm listening at the same time, coming out of my own mouth. He says, I'm going to bless you now. I'm going to bless you, and when people hear you, they're going to say these words. That man makes sense to me. And I have heard that over and over and over throughout the lifetime of my ministry. I will be speaking, somebody come up, man, you make a lot of sense to me. The Lord blessed me. He took away the curse and he spoke a blessing on my mind, and I've watched it happen. Amen. You want to get rid of the curses in your life? You want the blessing in your life? See, there just may be things that are tethering you. There may be things that you have rejected about God's word being applying to you. Where it says, no, the word of God doesn't apply to me. It applies to everybody else here, but I have an option and I don't have to do that. Well, that's bringing your life under a curse. To have a thought process where you are exempt from the word of God. And that's something, because you're a child of God. Now, you can limp along in life like I did, but you can be liberated. And he can take that out of you. Do you have a fear hanging on to you about not being cared for in some way? What happened? What is the nature of that? If you had somebody say something to you really, really, really powerful, like a berating thing, like they said, and they said that, what is that thing? Because it might still have an edge and still have a grip. And the Lord wants to free us. Is this helpful today? Because I'm going to tell you, when you start to speak positive things about your life and you're bound up with a curse, it feels like you're making it up. But when you're liberated from the curse, the power of those words take off. So as you're here today and you're listening, I want to ask to do some heart inventory. Just say in your heart, is there some kind of a curse I've allowed to take root because I want to walk in the blessing of the Lord? I'm going to just go ahead and declare this. By the authority given me as a pastor in this town for the benefit of the residents of this city, that in the name of Jesus, I declare you are going to prosper. You're going to be employed, and you're going to excel in that employment, and you're going to do good, and you're going to rise up. And the shackles that held you in the past are breaking off. There's some of you that have the gifts inside to actually run the business, to own it, and to excel and hire others. Now, I didn't plan any of this. But listen, when it comes down to moving out of places where shackled, where words have bound people, it often is seen in the economic realm. And the Lord says, hey, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. Rise up, mighty man of valor. You're going to make this happen. I saw you in the womb before you were formed. I got big stuff for you. You're highly favored of the Lord. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Let's lift our heads to the Lord. Can I lead you in a prayer? Would you pray this with me? Say, Father God, it is my heart to be free. It is my desire to walk in liberty. And I choose to have a repentant heart and a forgiving heart. It is my choice to forgive anybody who spoke to me in a negative manner that turned into a curse, caused fear, caused poverty. In the name of Jesus, I repent for partnering with this thought process, this argument against me. Now, there's an anointing coming in the room right now. There's a weight of the Lord. The Lord cares so deeply about you. He wants this broken out of your life. And so there's a reassuring presence of the Lord. There may just come tears, because right now, just as you're praying this, there's a certain level of liberty that's already coming. And there's other more freedom that comes when you come down and are partnering with someone and praying. Let's just go ahead and continue. So now, in Jesus' name, I receive the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. It is my choice to walk in freedom and in blessing and not under the curse. In Jesus' name.